It seemed like everybody want to be a boss these days. Everybody want to be a boss till it's time to pay out, you feel me? Till it's time to pay that boss cost. They ain't trying to have them tough conversations. They ain't trying to put in them extra hours, catching that windfall money, dealing with folks not being consistent. Don't get me started on the lack of sleep, but you know what they say.
Boss Life. BOSSFEST Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right. BOSSFEST, the Boss Fest Podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe. Tune in, catch the topic, get the tea. Ain't no shallow waters over here, we get deep. You sensitive, easy to offend, you need to flee. But them tough conversations gonna be happening. Boss Fest Podcast, they hold it down. Wednesday, 7 Eastern, man, it's going down. Tell a friend to tell a friend and y'all gather round. Get active in the comments, don't get lost in the crowd.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man DJ Bush. I had to show love to Kevin and Edwina, Boss Fest Butler. Y'all know what time it is, the Boss Fest Podcast. But you already know what we live in.
Boss Life. BOSSFEST, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right.
What's up? What's up? Welcome again to the Boss Fest Podcast. How y'all doing today? Listen, reaching for your headphones.
I'm going to take mine off.
My bad. I caught right in the mic. Wow. I can't hear it, so I don't know how bad it was, but
it was terrible.
Hey, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hopefully y'all had a great week, a productive day. Listen, we are live in the building, slightly late, but we're getting better. We just got to get back in the groove of it. I think since we kind of took that little break, we still haven't found our groove yet, but we are getting back into the thick of it, still adjusting to the new seating arrangement, making sure things look right. You know, it's an adjustment, but
I was gonna tell you, I don't like how you look on the camera, but
yeah, I'm trying to work through it. I know I gotta get a different camera regardless, but listen, nevertheless, we are glad to be with y'all today. I don't know how much conversation today's topic is going to be centered around business. We might touch on it. I don't know. But I just think from, you know, the events this past weekend, different things happening, you know.
Are the events you're talking about? Because it seemed like you're trying to be very broad.
I'm talking about specifically the Super Bowl, specifically the halftime performance of Kendrick Lamar. I'll be specific on that.
I mean, you were just like the events that happened this weekend. So I'm like, that could be some of anything. So I don't really know what you're talking about.
That could be some of anything. So thank you.
All right. So we are talking about, is that today's topic, the Super Bowl?
No, the topic was worst Super Bowl halftime show ever.
Okay.
You know, I put the question marks on the ever because
I mean, y'all tap in. Let us know. Was this the worst Super Bowl halftime show ever?
Yeah,
I've heard mixed reviews. That's for sure.
Listen. I'm gonna say this because I know this can veer off into some deep spaces today with this topic, especially with the controversy that is kind of around the event itself, but. I'll start off by saying, from an entertainment standpoint, I believe that this wasn't the most entertaining Super Bowl halftime performance. From a message that needed to be heard, this was one of the most impactful Super Bowl performances. So, and I think, you know, the way that the halftime show was delivered speaks exactly to what I'm saying, you know. The way the halftime performance, it was set up as a game. And, you know, you had Samuel Jackson portraying Uncle Sam, you know, and kind of narrating through the different songs and things of that nature.
What do you mean it speaks to what you're saying? I guess I'm not understanding where you're going with it. So you're saying it wasn't the most entertaining show, but then the way it was set up speaks to what you're saying about it not being entertaining?
No, I'm saying like from when you think about the Super Bowl, right? And its past performances, you know, it was all about.
I thought you were taking these headphones off.
Okay.
I'm just asking you questions, sir.
Listen, I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff here. You just talking to the mic and let me handle everything.
Oh, else. My goodness. Here we go.
I'm just saying. Let me handle everything.
All you do else. Is spin records. That's all you do.
I wish you at least do that. But what I was getting to, you just rudely do your thing.
I thought about it and so I can't hear you other than like me hearing you. So I don't know how we actually sound.
We sound good. That's why I still kept the headphones on to make sure. You can ask your community.
I should ask the audience how we sound out there. God,
I would just like to keep the conversation going instead of doing this, what you do. Like, give me something. But
you want me to leave?
I feel like I can do this by myself.
Okay, it's the audience said it sounds good. Okay, so back to the entertainment piece.
So, when you think about past performances, right? When you think about the Michael Jacksons, the Prince, the Elton Johns, those different performers, it was about crowd participation, crowd engagement, right? And I think we've kind of gotten to an era where the crowd really doesn't get into music like that from that perspective. And I think, you know, especially when you think about the Great American Pastime football game, it's supposed to be inclusive. Everybody's supposed to be able to enjoy.
So you're saying in previous Super Bowl shows, the crowd was included in the show.
I feel like the crowd would be more engaged with the show versus the performance that Kendrick gave, where it was niched down to tell a message. And if you don't really follow Kendrick's music, it can be lost on you, right? And while, you know, he's seen huge success recently, he still can be seen as an unknown artist in certain spaces, right?
I don't agree with what you're saying. So I mean, I guess we can continue.
So you're saying you don't agree. What do you don't agree with?
So first of all, let me go to what I guess I do agree with. I can say there wasn't as much dancing on the stage. Like if I compare this to Beyonce, who I also think had some messaging in her performance, but she does it with a lot more like entertaining the dancers. there's just a lot more dancing. This one says Shakira's halftime is my favorite, and I laugh because this person has said that to me like 5 times already. But there was a lot of dancing in her halftime show, and maybe not as much of that in Kendrick's. But I mean, there still was dancing. It was just different kinds of dancing. I think the message was not lost on people. I think sometimes, like in the show, the message screamed very loud. So almost if you didn't get the message, it's because you were intentionally trying not to get the message. I'm not saying everything was easily got, but some things were like, literally, I just said that out loud. So how you didn't get it. And we knew months before that Kendrick was performing. So that's just the type of artist that he is. Like he is actually an artist. So you either like him or you don't, right? But I mean, more people tuned into this halftime show than ever before. So he does something.
So you make some points, but I'll say this, like, think about this. So we understand who Kendrick is. We follow his music. Me and my daughter went to his concert when he had it in Tampa a few years back. So we've been able to kind of follow that music. But if you told me who is the top country singer right now that isn't black, or in our minds, because when we say Beyonce, even though you know, stats may say something else, we wouldn't be able to tell it because that's just not the genre of music we follow. So what I'm saying is, while we understood what Kendrick was doing, there's a whole population of people, You can call them older white people, even older Hispanic people mm-hmm. who would not have understood what Kendrick was doing. Younger white, younger population okay. would definitely grasp it.
Okay.
But they're still, like I said, but this is the American pastime. This is the American game. And for him to put that type of messaging out there in that type of environment, number one, speaks huge volumes to, you know, him as an artist. A lot of people would have know, maybe played it down. It seemed like he cranked it up.
So was it the worst halftime show ever?
From a entertainment perspective, I don't think so. I think there's been some that might have been worse. You know what? Let's take that back. No, it is not the worst halftime performance ever. So, and the reason why I say it's not the worst is because some of the worst halftime performances made people turn away from the game. And because of those performances were so bad, which was why somebody like Keenan Ivory Wayans was able to capitalize on the market of the Super Bowl without having to pay a dime and take views away from the game during the halftime, which is why the following year they brought in the biggest act that they think they could bring.
I don't know if we follow even what you're saying.
What you mean? You asked me, was it the worst Super Bowl ever?
Yeah, I did. But you're talking about Keenan Ivory Wayans, which you didn't give us any like context behind.
So let me provide context. So when the Super Bowl first started, the way they used to do the halftime show was they would bring out marching bands, predominantly from PWIs and things of that nature. So whenever the Super Bowl halftime show would perform, it'd be a PWI band out there doing their thing. It became so mundane that people would literally turn away, like they would see viewership turn away from the game during that period of time, then gradually crank back up when the game returned on. Keenan Ivory Wayans, who phenomenal director, comedian, things of that nature, had a show called In Living Color, since I got to put all the context out there.
I mean, and you're just assuming that people know this history. I didn't know this.
Fair enough. So he had a show called In Living Color. And it was a sketch comedy show similar to what you could see as an SNL. And what they did one year was they said, man, how can we capitalize and build our brand? And they gambled on the idea of doing a show during the Super Bowl. Everybody told them, this is the worst idea. This is a terrible idea. Do not do this. Nobody's going to watch it. It's going to be a waste of money. And what they did was they did like a live audience show during the Super Bowl for those 15 or 20 minutes. And it was such a huge success that the NFL took note of it. And the very next year, that's when you started seeing like the band. I mean, the bands disappeared and you started to see the artists. And the very first artist they went to go get was Michael Jackson.
Okay.
So was it the worst performance in Super Bowl history? No. But since you want to say since the start of Michael Jackson, it still wasn't the worst performance in my eyes, because there's certain music that just doesn't relate to me. Like I said, certain rock music, things like that. But others may have a different opinion. I just know that from a context standpoint, message-wise, by far, top notch.
So to be clear, so you took us through the whole history lesson about whether it was the worst. Yeah, I asked you, was it the worst? And you were like, no, it wasn't the worst in history. But even since we've started doing artists, it still wasn't the worst. So I was just like, I don't know why we went down the whole memory lane, but okay.
Wow. Did you not ask me? Did she not say to put context behind it?
Then I asked you what you were talking about as far as Keenan Ivory Wayans. So I appreciate that part of the lesson. I didn't know that to introduce the artist, but my original question was it the worst? And what you said was, no, it wasn't the worst because there were bands before, but then let's talk about since there's been artists and it still wasn't the worst. So it just kind of was
off,
like...
But that's just based off of my opinion.
Right. I just didn't understand. It wasn't the worst. It still wasn't the worst. So nonetheless, you didn't think it was the worst performance in NFL history or, you know, Super Bowl halftime history, but you liked it for the messaging. So what was it in the messaging that you were so happy to see?
You want me to talk long again? Got it.
No, I mean, you can say something short. You are going, I don't know, whatever. You can just answer the question.
I like the fact that it was empowering. It was telling everybody, especially in our community, that, hey, listen, man, we need to pay attention to what the game is in front of us, right? Understand that this is designed for us to lose if we play the game as they want us to play the game. Regardless if we do all the things they want, all the things they like, and we try to follow the rules, the game is still designed for us to lose in that way. So we have to change the way we play the game. That was the messaging. That was the biggest messaging I got from it. How about yourself?
I mean, I guess that's definitely a really good message. I'll say personally, I loved that Samuel L. Jackson was Uncle Sam in this scenario. And anyone that like goes back to his history, like for me, that was just so amazing for him to embrace this on this large stage. And I actually was able to find out like through this that he was one of the pallbearers for Martin Luther King. So I didn't know that before now. But him.
Who was a pallbearer for Dr. King?
They said Samuel Jackson was.
That's some old TikTok
news. It was on TikTok news. Do I need a fact check TikTok?
Oh my God. Listen. See.
Okay, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna fact check it right now.
I'm saying
if y'all are watching, y'all fact check with me.
Out of all those community leaders, Samuel Jackson
here. How do you know he wasn't a part of it?
I'm not saying he couldn't have been.
Wait a minute, but you are normally the person who
I typically would know some of those facts. So I'm not gonna dismiss that this.
But
can't
you
be
are
true.
Dismissing it.
It just seems far fetched. But hey, you went down that rabbit hole. I will research that later to confirm.
Oh no, I'm gonna research it right now.
So you're gonna research it in real time.
Yes.
Got it. So we will find out in real time if Samuel L. Jackson was one of Dr. King's pallbearers. But continue.
Oh, you threw me off. So either way, I love that he was like the scorekeeper or the game director. So no, he was 19 years old and he volunteered to be an usher at the funeral.
Okay.
So there is fact checking. He was 19 on April 9th, 1968, and he was, in fact, at the funeral, but he was an usher.
Okay. Listen, that is still news to me, and it's something amazing.
So I guess if I go back to what I was saying about Samuel, like just him going to an HBCU, understanding some of those struggles, us watching him have to play the game, you know, in real life to be in Hollywood and now being the game director or Uncle Sam, I really enjoyed seeing him in that role. I thought that Kendrick was very calculated in how his songs played and, like it all fit very well. I was like, man, the people that are orchestrating this did a very good job. Like, I just thought it everything made sense. And I think as a Black person in America, we all understand. I don't know. I've been in situations where it's like, okay, you're too loud. You almost too ghetto. And sometimes other Black people will say, okay, now, you know what I mean? Like to put you in your place to be like, you may be too loud. You may be too ghetto. So you have to get in line. You got to talk right. You got to code switch so that you can behave the right way to what's seen, you know, whether you say corporate America or just in the America you want to fit in.
Okay. So let's go down that
path. So I want to read this message and maybe you'll change what you're about to say. It says it wasn't a bad performance, but he didn't land with his message. If too many people have to explain your message for you, it wasn't clear and effective. So before you go on to that, I'm like, I don't think he had to land on his message. I think people who don't understand the message intentionally didn't get it because what he said was, it's a revolution. Like you picked the right time, but the wrong guy. Like, I think the things that he wanted us to hear, he said out loud. I think Samuel said words for him. He basically said, you're too loud, you too ghetto, get in line. When the music went softer, he said, yes, that's how we like it. I don't think those were things that we had to dictate and we don't have to, you know, research for weeks to understand. I think they were very clear. The flag being divided wasn't something that no one watching the TV wouldn't get. It was clear that a flag was divided.
So I think that's one of the challenges we have, especially with us, right?
Are you saying us as black people?
Okay. So I think we're always trying to make things perfect. And if it doesn't come out completely perfect, then we feel like we failed or we missed the mark. While I don't necessarily agree with that comment, I do think that there is a whole lot of extra critiquing in this situation. And just like how you explained it, I got those things up front, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those key elements I got. America was built off blacks when they formed the flag. The fact that we saw the flag being divided. So, the revolution will be televised. It's the right time, but the wrong person. I understood that concept. So to me, that wasn't a misconception of what was meant by that. Somebody may say, man, but did he mean he was the wrong person to deliver this message? No, he's saying like, listen, right now, America's in the best years of it's in the best phase of development right now, right? Everybody is kind of listening more, but those last embers of hate and divisiveness are just trying to burn as much stuff down as they can as they make their way out the door.
So right now, I think you're about to be wordy, but I'll say this, and I want to agree with you on that before you continue, is I think as Black people, and you can even say as minorities, we are extra critical of each other. And to have the ability to look at a great body of work and say, job well done, instead of picking it apart and saying you didn't land the message. One thing that I would say, like, congratulations is due because, again, he still had the most viewers than any other Super Bowl show ever. So maybe his message doesn't land with everybody, but did he have the best chance of getting it across to more people? He absolutely did. And it takes a huge amount of guts to take your platform and use that for a message of saying it's time to come together rather than to stay divided. So when you say, like, okay, you know, it didn't land or it didn't whatever, it's like almost like let's keep creating more divide instead of I got the part that maybe was for me and we all could do a little bit more work to come together. Like right now, what I feel, and I'm only going to speak for me, is what I was afraid of, is that this would feel like more division in this country. It would feel like more racism. Instead of us coming together and saying as people, like, I bleed the same as you. I go through the same struggles as you. Let's work together. It feels like now everything is a divide. Whether we're talking about the Super Bowl or we're talking about just regular, like, work, life, whatever, there's now more division on whether you're on this side or this side. So we can't come together.
I have noticed that, especially in the workplace. And I don't necessarily know if it's politically driven or is it just, you know, people feeling like it's okay to embrace some of their divisiveness. But I have noticed more and more, I notice it more and more as it's related towards Black women, where, because, you know, I work for a company and I have a Black leader, and same way my wife does her thing. I see those struggles, and I sometimes look at my boss and I'll be like, hey, listen, it's okay for you to be who you are. And say, I understand, you know, you grew up the way you grew up. I'm not going to penalize you for that. So this can be a safe space here, but I know outside of maybe my office or her office, when we in a group setting and we're around everyone, she has to tone it down or she can't exactly be herself. Because it can appear she can be looking like an angry Black woman or too ghetto or too loud and stuff like that. And while everybody else can be embracing their, you know, their culture or their, you know, I was just say their culture, it seems like we always have to kind of tuck ours in or hide it a little bit so it doesn't seem threatening to people. And I've seen it more and more play out for Black women than I'll even say for black men, because black men are like, man, we're just trying to get, I don't know if we're trying to get our footing back or we're just trying to reclaim something that we threw away or we lost. But I've just seen that struggle happening more and more in the workplace, and I can agree with you on that.
For sure. Like, I can say that I have some Spanish employees, and they were really excited for the Super Bowl show. And a lot of them, while I don't have any of these conversations at work, my employees speak freely, and they were really excited. And a lot of them completely understood the messaging. And
what was the ages?
I guess 30s, mid-30s to early 40s, I would say.
So late 20s to 40s.
Yeah.
So I think that's the era of, that's the era that will understand the messaging behind Kendrick. Like, that's the next era of people that's kind of grew up with us or a little bit under us. So things don't seem as divisive to them. But I think even they are starting to look like, dang, that do seem weird that you can't do that. Or they're starting to even open eyes like, damn, I didn't realize that was really a plight for you because you don't really talk about it. So we need to open up our mouths more as a community, as black people. Like, we can't be ashamed to be who we are anymore. And the one thing I've been saying this year is that, man, a lot of things that's going to happen this year, they're going to happen regardless if we want them to happen or not. We need to focus on our bag, we need to focus on our brand, we need to focus on our business, and we need to focus on those people who truly have our backs. And like you said, man, it ain't going to be a seat at the table for everybody for this process. And I think Kendrick's message was designed for the 14% that's supposed to hear it and understand it, and those who embrace it and support.
So I'll say this, because, you know, I'm heavy on the TikTok news that I like to joke about. But I see a lot of creators, and not just black creators. I'm actually seeing a lot of white creators. And again, this is just for me watching TikTok, that did get the message, that were really excited to see the message and have voiced out that they're kind of tired of the environment that we're in right now. And I mean, obviously, it feels like we have a long way to go from where we are right now. But I will say, from those, like, some of them are even breaking it down. And if you follow Kendrick, I mean, he is an artist. This isn't new for him to have multiple messages on top of messages that you have to dissect. So in getting him to come to the Super Bowl, he didn't just switch up and decide to do this. Like, when you ask him to come to the Super Bowl, you had to understand what you were getting. Like, all of his performances, you can go back to the Grammy performance that he had. You said you went to go see him in concert. Mm-hmm. Like, there are hidden messages in all of that.
Yep.
Him telling us to turn the TV off didn't start with the Super Bowl. He's been telling us to turn the TV off. So I just think, obviously, we knew what was going to happen, or someone knew what was going to happen, right? Because that's the type of artist he is. Would we rather have Lil Wayne, who says there's no racism whatsoever in the U.S. and he's cool? I mean, we have, you know, like three or four dreads hanging on, and I don't think relevant. Like, I don't think he is as in touch with what's happening in the culture in today's day.
So Wayne tells it from his perspective, and we can't fault him for his perspective. He just can't act like his perspective is the only one. And I think that's where a lot of people are getting.
I think you should say that again, because that's our problem. People are acting like their perspective is the only perspective. And when I say different things, especially like on our podcast platform, I want to be very clear. It is from my perspective. Most people's perspective is how they grew up, right?
Right.
How they were raised and what they are experiencing in their life. That is their perspective. So you can't say like, oh, like your perspective is bad. That's your perspective to have. But continue. And yeah, I said three.
Yeah. So Wayne would have been a very entertaining performance. Because it would have brought back nostalgia.
I don't know. I just feel like it's the old Wayne, not the new Wayne.
I get it. He wouldn't have done how many new songs he got.
No, I mean the old version. Like, I, when we think about Lil Wayne, I feel like we're thinking about Hot Boys, like just the old him. Like, I watch him perform, and I don't even know where this clip came from, but I couldn't really understand him. He was smoking, and it was just like he was more, it just felt like he was more concentrated on smoking than actually playing the songs. Now, could he have brought out like some definitely some hits? Absolutely, he could have brought out some people with him, and it would have been entertainment, you know, like we would have got up and danced, like Juvenile. I saw Master P was there. So, like, you know, we could have brought out some things, but I just don't think the Lil Wayne we're thinking of is the same one that is today.
Possibly, but I believe that on a stage like that, he would have delivered. You almost making it seem like he. I ain't gonna go there.
No, I'm making it seem like he's what?
Like he Jodeci or something. Like he done lost his voice and everything.
No, sir. Like, Jodeci be delivering. I have seen Jodeci. Maybe they lip sync. Wow, no, but I have seen them say, ooh, yeah. No, I haven't seen that.
No, we're not gonna do that.
I am going to, like, I'm gonna put myself out there and say, I feel like it would be worse. Like, I am just saying, I watched him in interviews, and I just feel like, dang, like, you're not the Lil Wayne that I used to listen to. And granted, I haven't listened to him in a while, but again, it is my perspective.
That is your perspective, and I'm not even gonna step in that one because I know, never mind. All right, so
I'm not saying that I'm not a Lil Wayne fan. But you know what? I am not as much of a Lil Wayne fan as I have been in the past, especially since he does not believe there's any racism, and it felt like he was out of touch. And when someone asked him about that, he said, what is Black Lives Matter? That don't apply to me. And for me, I'm like, I can't get with it.
But you know, it's quite a few Black people who feel like that phrase doesn't apply to them.
That is fine. I just told you I can't get with that.
I got it. So he voiced his opinion. And now since he voiced his opinion, you now have shifted your opinion of him and was like, you know what?
I think my opinion of him was shifting a little bit before that, but I understand what you're saying. Yes.
Okay.
For sake of argument, we'll say yes.
For sake of argument, we will say yes to that.
So somebody said what? I don't know what the what was to, but maybe it was because I shifted my opinion.
I don't know. Maybe they said what because you thought that Jodeci would do better than Lil Wayne. Like, that's a what to me.
I seen Jodeci say, ooh, yeah. And I was like, okay, we off the drugs. We up in there.
The one. KC. So KC can still sing. The other three can't, but we good. Got it. Understood. All right. Back to the.
Just put him in front. Why care about the two when it's the one?
Okay.
Okay.
I don't even know where to go with this conversation anymore. I am shocked.
Okay, so the comment says, yes, that's what the what was for, because my comment was ridiculous.
It was.
I believe that Jodeci could still bring it.
You know what? I'll touch back on another comment that was said when they said Shakira was the best halftime performance.
I think that's an important comment, to be quite honest, because I feel like that was for a specific group of people.
So let me talk on that.
All right.
So I think that was J-Lo's Super Bowl performance, and she brought on Shakira and Pitbull and stuff like that. I would tell you, when I went to work the next day, the Spanish community couldn't stop talking about the Super Bowl performance. And in that moment, like, they was like, man, did you see the show? They was impressed how beautiful J-Lo looked, how she was moving on the stage.
Oh, yeah, it was like for her age, she was so amazing. Like, I heard it was so amazing. Yep.
And then Shakira doing her thing, they felt like, oh, my God.
So the question is, when was Shakira's performance?
That's when they did the Super Bowl in Miami.
Yeah, but when was it? Do you remember?
I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I believe. It was whatever Super Bowl they did in Miami, and Black people were like, man, they could have got Trick Daddy. And I was like, nah, please.
They could have got Trick Daddy with that stomach. I pay for Trick Daddy over Lil Wayne.
Please. No. All right. Back to my topic.
Again.
Back. Nope. I'm not letting you go there.
Okay.
Back to what I was saying. So when I went to work and I was talking to my Hispanic brothers and they were speaking on the Super Bowl performance, I didn't share the same sentiments, but I understood where they was coming from.
Yeah.
And I could relate to what they were saying. Even though I didn't think the performance was that good to me, I understood where they was coming from. So that's what I'm saying. So I think we're starting to see a little bit of that with the younger generation. The older generation, just they don't get it. And it's like, we got to keep trying to people saying they got to explain stuff. I don't think it needs to be explained. We need to just stop explaining. That's the message. That's what it is. We done explaining. Other races ain't got to keep explaining themselves. Black people always think we got to keep explaining our message and stuff. Don't say it once. The people that's supposed to get it will get it. The people that don't, they don't. Ain't no point of trying to make it seem like, oh my God, make it inclusive. Let me make sure you understand my message so maybe you can help me.
So this comment says that was a huge performance for us. And I think for us, that means like a huge performance for the Spanish community. And now relate that to what we're saying. That was a huge performance for them. That's how they felt. That is in turn exactly what we're saying in this.
I get that. But how many other Spanish performers was before that? I don't know.
So, I don't either.
So that might have been like, that when they rocked the stage and they brought out all the Hispanic performers and they did their thing, I understood the excitement.
They did it for their culture.
They did it for their culture. Yes. And I understood the excitement. So that's why Trick Daddy couldn't be on the damn stage, or Trina or Uncle Luke and any other Miami artists that we was like, we need to put them on the stage. But I think Black people talked about that junk for like 1 or 2 days and we was over it. All right, they ain't on the stage. Cool, it's over. I want to see how long we're going to critique Kendrick's performance. How long the Hispanic community, the white community, all these communities are going to keep trying to sit here and talk about how his performance didn't live up to their expectations when it wasn't for them. Because if other groups perform, we as a community, we don't berate them or attack them. Hey man, it wasn't for me. I understand. And we move on.
I mean, it's true. I saw the performance with J-Lo and I said, oh, I mean, I didn't think it was all that. But again, it wasn't for me. I said that and we moved on with life.
And we moved on.
I definitely feel a lot of critique. And to, I guess, bring it back, sometimes I feel like as Black people, we get the hardest critiques from our own community.
And our own community, like, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Do we get a prize for critiquing each other so hard? It's like, is somebody like, hey, I saw you out there, Black man, giving the Black people this hard criticism. He is your pass. I don't know. It sometimes feels weird. Oh no.
I mean, like, you starting to say little things that I was really waiting for you to say something like, who is James gonna, like, what you was gonna say? It felt a little me.
No, I just wonder sometimes, because I'm not saying that we ain't. I think for so long we've tried.
Can we not say done is better than perfect? Because even when you're talking in business, like, you got to start somewhere. Like, is the message not getting out there just okay to get the message out? Why does it have to be like it was delivered perfect? I never heard anyone say, you know, and let's talk about J-Lo's performance. Like, oh man, her dancers missed that beat. Somebody fell off of Usher's whole stage. Like, did we like eat that down? But that was a white person. I'm just saying, like, now that there's a message out there, which was for the community, why are we beating that down? So in this particular instance, we actually agree with each other.
I think, I don't know, maybe we feel like we can't commit. If we commit too hard, maybe people think we're too militant, and that will prevent us from moving forward. Or
so it's about getting in line. You got to get in line.
I think it's about getting in line. Samuel L. said it very good. Uncle Sam said it good. We can't be too ghetto. We got to play the game nice and easy so people feel comfortable. But
I mean, that goes back to the statement. So first of all, I want to say we are definitely our worst critics. That was one of the comments. But that goes back to this comment, like, you didn't land on the message. And it's like, you can't agree with the message too hard, especially publicly, right? Like, you can't be like, I was team this, because maybe now you're too Black and you want to play in like these spaces. So maybe it does have a lot to do with fall in line, be quiet, be good, don't be too ghetto.
It could be, but we got to break that. I think the whole point of the performance was to say, hey, it's okay to be you. Because you are who you are, it doesn't make you ghetto. It doesn't make you hood. No, a hood is just a place you was, a neighborhood is a neighborhood, your place you was born. Everybody has neighborhoods. Everybody has hood. The term ghetto It's just something that's been placed on Black people, even though anybody could meet the criteria of the word ghetto, but you don't really hear people talk about white people being ghetto.
I know some ghetto white people, though.
I know some ghetto Hispanic people.
That too.
But that term isn't really placed upon them as much as it's used to penalize us. And I think now we got to stop playing in these spaces with people, even our own people. When I tell you in 2025, I'm focused on myself, my brand, my people that's moving with me. That's 100%. Even if the people who supposed to look like me, who can say they grew up in the same situations as me or have similar backgrounds, but they move in a different way. That's cool, bro.
You'll cut your granny off if she don't see it how you see it.
Cut off.
So this comment said, okay, ladies, now get information. But this is why we have to continue to create our own spaces so we can be blackity black. I said that part of the song that I cut my granny off if she don't see it how I see it. Because even last year when I was saying, you know, sometimes you got to stand on business and people can't play in your face. And I think we saw some backlash behind that as though like I was making a stance against certain people. But I'm like, it's okay to cut people off. Like sometimes there's no meeting in the middle. So don't invite all that negativity. While I would love for things to be inclusive, but if people can't understand that these are your values and what you stand on, then maybe you just can't. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about that. So
this says you cut your cranium.
I'm just referring back to your comment. Mm-hmm. You said, hey, people not going to continue to play in my face. And you stood on that principle. And we did see a little bit of backlash. I don't want to call it backlash. It wasn't even really.
I mean, backlash is just the best word that I can describe for. But
it wasn't really backlash.
So
we saw a shift. We saw a shift in people who we deal with, right?
I can't even say that. So maybe we saw a shift because everybody who I deal with is still solid.
We saw a shift. There it is. So we saw a shift.
In fact, before you continue, I want to say that I saw. And a shift can be good or bad, right?
Right.
Because I want to say that some people I rock with, I saw us become more solid because what we actually did was we stood, like we were standing on business. So people were able to see, like, dang, I understand what they're saying and I stand with you. So a lot of times I was getting messages like, I appreciate you speaking out. I feel the way you feel. And you would know, like, people would reach out and say, hey, like you had the guts to say this, you know, on your podcast, on your platform, I stand with you. So yes, a shift can be good. A shift can be bad. But I think standing on business maybe either caused people to shift away or shift forward or towards us. Either way, there was a shift.
There is a shift. And I think all of us got to learn to navigate, you know, these challenging times. And the reason why I call them challenging times is because we are in an uncertain place right now. As a country, as a community, and things of that nature, we're trying to figure out what's the best way to navigate through our lives. And for some of us, we feel like playing the game, even and fair, is the best way. We'll speak on a narrative, but we don't really want to go too deep on it because we don't want to, quote unquote, maybe miss opportunity or chances and things like that. But I think if you're not ready to catch the ball that's for you, you're gonna drop them all. So it ain't even like shooting free throws. It's like, listen, I need to play left field. If I know I'm better at playing left field than right field, why am I trying to play center field and I'm trying to catch all the balls? I'm going to miss them all. I'm just going to play left field. Some people playing right field. There's a lot of people that's trying to play the center and be devil's advocate all the time.
I'm glad you brought it back because the center field and the left field, I was like, what are you talking about?
Got it. So playing devil's advocate all the time, like, hey, but yeah, what about this? Nah, man, listen. Everybody else taking a stance. Take a stance.
So what you're saying is time for the person that plays middle road to pick a side.
Pick a side.
I mean, fair enough. Because, I mean, I definitely have seen some people say, like, hey, Kendrick's performance was good, or I rock with this. But meanwhile, some other things that you say counteract the belief in that. So I do agree with, you know, picking a stance. But regardless, for me, like, if you ask my opinion, I definitely felt like it was a good message. I felt like he was bold to even bring that message out. And in the state that we are in, this environment, the message was needed. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if it's only a few more people, let's say like he did it for the 14%, maybe there's 2% more that actually decide to understand what the message is. That makes it that much better for all of us just trying to get along. So I applaud him for doing it. And I mean, that's what it is. It was for the culture, and the next show may be for, you know, the next culture, and we'll all watch it and say whatever we got to say and move on.
The message was for Black people. The message was for Black people. There you go. We ain't playing middle fist.
I don't necessarily think the message was for Black people.
Okay.
I think so I'm gonna be clear. I think there could be, and I don't want to just say white people. I think there could be Spanish people, like whatever people who don't fully understand, but maybe will say, I'd like to. Like, I don't get it 100%, but I'd like to.
Okay.
And they were open to receiving the message. And that's why I made a point to say, like, the guys at my job, which we don't talk about politics, like, I don't discuss any of that with them. But them saying, did you catch that message? And them talking amongst themselves without me in the conversation about the things that they're learning on the Super Bowl. They have now been talking about it for the last 3 days and telling each other, oh, I got this message. And I heard TikTok say it breaks down like that. It's exciting to see. And I'm not a part of that conversation, but they're trying. So those type of things. And if he didn't do anything else but open the conversation for these people to learn, job well done.
No, that's deep right there. So I have not had to explain myself to any other race about Kendrick's message.
Nope, and I'm going to show you right now that my team texted me. So this was a text. It was at 8:46, and they found the guy who was protesting with the flag. So they wanted to show me the guy with the flag, like, hey, boss, is this? And, oh, I'm watching it again. So they are excited to be able to say, I'm trying to understand, and they want to include me. This isn't a conversation that I'm having, but at least they're open to. And if nothing else, I'm like, those are the type of messages that we need to have. Like, that's what brings inclusivity and brings us together. I don't know if I said it right, but you understood what I was
understood
saying.
The word. I was like, all right,
y'all understood it. Y'all understood it.
I had to go search it real quick.
Don't search it. Don't search it. But the point is, if it opens up the conversation, that's what we need in today's environment.
Kendrick hit the mark. Number one, he delivered a powerful performance that people are going to continue to talk about for the next week, 2 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks, right? How many conversations do people continue having after the Super Bowl about the performance? I think the last time I heard anyone talk about someone's performance was Beyonce's performance.
So I'm giving you this. This is a white creator. This lady is probably 70 years old, and she said maybe older. How old is she?
Like, I'm finna play it or something.
I mean, you can play it if you want to, but she's basically explaining the Homestead Act. And she said that Kendrick says on the stage, this is about 40 acres and a mule. And she said she kept replaying that part. How old does that lady look on the screen?
She looks in her late 60s, 70s.
All right. So she explains, because she wants to explain to her followers, which means that they're not our age, right?
They're not our age, and they may not even be our people.
They're not, right. They're not our people.
Right.
But she's explaining to them the Homestead Act. And what she's telling them is, you don't understand why 40 acres and a mule keeps coming up. Because there was a day and time where the government gave mostly white families land so that they would come and they would farm the land.
Yep.
They got that land and they got to keep it. And that started generational wealth for a lot of white households.
Yes, it did.
Then she goes on to explain something very similar was promised to Black Americans.
Yes, it was.
But that promise did not stand true for us. So if you think about, like, why do they keep saying 40 acres and a mule? It's because when it came down to the white people, we stood on business and we gave them what we said. But when it came down to people who were actually enslaved, we didn't stand on business. And now they've had to fight for everything. So don't get mad at them for still saying 40 acres and a mule. if someone promised you something after enslaving you for years and didn't hold true to what they said, would you not be mad? And she says that very, like, she's a professor, so obviously she goes into detail on that. But I was listening to her and I was like, just me listening, that was an amazing point. And I didn't even know what the Homestead Act was, but if anyone looks it up, that was the government giving land to people that would go, I think it was the Midwest, to go farm it.
Right.
And a lot of white families were able to grow that land and build wealth within their family.
So that's huge, because you think of, so if you think about how that was supposed to transpire. So after the Civil War, these things were promised to previously enslaved blacks, 40 acres and a mule. And what they was going to do is they was going to use the land from the use some of the lands from the Confederate soldiers and things like that. They might have died in war and stuff like that, and different things. And what happened was, after Lincoln's assassination, we put in a new president, and this man did everything in his power to reverse to reverse everything Lincoln did. He pretty much said, hey, everything is still slavery except for the term slavery. He then appointed all Southern, like these Confederate generals and colonels. They now all of a sudden had seats in Congress and the House and stuff, and they made laws and they dictated things in the South, which is why you got black codes and all this stuff and black laws. And you think about the impact of that, like, hey, we are now trying to build something for ourselves, and we don't want no handout. We just want what you's going to give us. And those people were afraid, because they said, and Ron DeSantis even alluded to it in his craziness, that, hey, man, these now released slaves now have skill sets that's going to make them, set them apart in the market. That's going to make them a valuable asset. And we can't allow for them to now be able to control the market. So powerful. I'm about to go look at that.
Yeah. So look it up. And this is a white creator. She actually used Kendrick's performance to teach a lesson of history that most people don't know. So again, I say these are instances where the performance has started a conversation, and that's what is needed for change to happen. The conversation needs to happen. So I can't say that his performance is bad. If we're saying, like, was there not enough dancing and shininess in there? There wasn't, but the message needs to be had. And this is definitely the time to have that message. When there's so much divide happening, most of us are alike, we can come together on something. So I definitely applaud him on that.
But if you look at the climate right now, political climate, things of that nature, like, we just recently entered into, we call it the era of Trump, where the country wanted this person who has created such a divisive energy around themselves to run our country. If you think about all the things that's happening now with the way that he's utilizing tariffs or trying to bully people with this process, this is what the country wants. Or let me not say the country won't. The country was willing to sacrifice some of its moral character to reclaim something that it felt like it lost. And from immigration and things of that nature, I think most people who are true American citizens agree that the immigration policy was trash. People just illegally crossing to our borders was just terrible, and they should fix that. Nobody's going to disagree with that process, but saying you're going to kick out people who've been in this country for 30, 40 years, they don't even know the country no more because of birthright citizenship. Like, you want to now eliminate that. If you was born from it, someone that was from,
okay, so it sounds like you're not discussing politics, but
I won't go politics. I'll go back to the Super Bowl. Was it the best or worst halftime show performance? It was, message wise, the best performance that we can have as a country. And I think if people who want to hear it and utilize the message, it will make us a better place. Those people who gonna disregard it and not even care to dig deeper into it,
It'll be what it is. It's just another Super Bowl show. They didn't like it.
It just wasn't for them.
Right. It just wasn't for you, which is fine. Like, That's the point with art and entertainment. It's not for everyone.
True.
Same with the podcast. Like people are saying, like we said, we saw a shift. It's not for everyone. I definitely think today's society, like at some point we got to take a stand. So us as individuals, you can't be liked by everybody, right? I mean, the same thing is said about absolutely everything.
Hey, anything else you want to elaborate on?
No, I would. I mean, the only thing that I can say is I would love to see there be a shift. We understand Trump is a president and, you know, that just is what it is. But even like I'm traveling and, you know, I'm going to like Alabama and Georgia and those places, like they are scary areas to be in. And I don't know. Like,
for a black person?
For a black person. And I mean, like we're Floridian, so I don't know if we experience it as much. But there are certain areas where I was warned to get to where I have to be before the sun goes down. And we all know about sundown towns, but it's 2025.
So
I'm a female traveling in certain areas, and that can be a scary environment that we're saying in 2025, there's still sundown towns and there's still these environments. And then people wonder why, like, this is your stance on things. But again, I want to go back to people's stance are based on what they know from like what they grow up, their morals and their values are normally based on that. And things that I see in my environment still hold true. And if I'm traveling somewhere and someone says, like, I want you to be safe, you got to make sure you make it to your hotel or your destination before the sun goes down. Like, that's a reality in 2025 in this America.
Mm.
And you know that you've had to talk to me on the phone to make sure, like, I make it from point A to point B. And it's just some scary places to be at.
As much as I want to say, as much as sometimes when you hear those stories in 2025, you're like, man, that's not true. It's 100% true, especially when you're traveling to some of these back roads and you're just thinking, hey, I'm just doing normal travel. Is it okay for me just to travel through these towns and these communities and wonder if someone is going to dislike me for the color of my skin? That's rough. And they no longer wave the Confederate flag.
Sometimes it's a Go Brandon. Sometimes it's a Trump flag. But I know when I see a lot of them in the area, don't stop for gas there. And this isn't something that I'm just making, like, this is true reality. When you know, when you were talking to me on the phone, I said, oh, I'm going to stop. I think I was stopping at the Dollar Tree once. And you said, right. Did you see a lot of Trump signs? And I said, I think they're about 10 minutes back. You said, this may be safe. Like, that is a reality. Yeah. Those are real life conversations. And if that doesn't say that the message that Kendrick was delivering at the Super Bowl is necessary, I don't know what else does. Because just like this comment says, in 2025, do we really need to be worried about getting lynched? Like, that's crazy that this is a conversation in 2025, but it is.
But you know, there's going to be some people out there, some black people that are like, man, they overreacting. They over exaggerating because that isn't their experience.
Right. Because it is definitely based on your experiences and what you see. And I know no one else is sitting in the car or on the phone with me when like some of these things happen. But like I could go on about me personally as a black woman in Polk County, having instances with the police and being really scared and doing nothing. I've never done anything out of the way, haven't put myself in any type of ill situations. But I can tell you some things that have happened that are like actually documented. But that's my story and my history and why I believe certain things. And I can't make anybody else believe anything different. That's their story.
Listen, y'all. Listen, that was the podcast.
Now, this comment says, before we go, it says we're overreacting until we have to march for their cousin, sister, brother, auntie. That's a mouthful right there. But go ahead, close us out. It felt like it was just getting deep. So go ahead.
Listen. So we're going to close this out because we can't get no deeper than this, because if we start getting deeper, then people are going to question.
Are we really talking about? So when you're talking about the life of an entrepreneur, like these are the ins and outs. These are the conversations that are had. And to be quite honest, like while I'm traveling, like this is the entrepreneurship travel. like you're traveling to different areas and you encounter these things. But nonetheless, we ain't gonna get no deeper. We ain't gonna keep it going.
We ain't gonna get no deeper today. But thank y'all for listening to the Boss Fest podcast. Listen, please follow us on social media. You can follow us on Instagram, on TikTok. Follow us on.
You forgot other things that you can follow us on.
Follow us on YouTube. Go subscribe. We're trying to build that YouTube audience up the right way. So we know we have more people on Facebook than it is on YouTube. But I ain't gonna lie, Facebook just feels intimate.
Oh my God. Boss Fest will officially be October 5th. Y'all lock it on your calendars right now. Until then, we will see y'all next Wednesday with another exciting episode from your Boss Fest family. Peace.
I guess peace.